Chapter 14. Base Station and Bright Angel, Washington, leaving Altover, elevation 6,866 feet. The road winds for over 5 miles through the Coconino Forest, mainly following the railway track until Base Station appears, elevation 6,417 feet. The road now enters a narrow defile known as the Bright Angel Wash, giving one a fine opportunity to learn the singular drainage system of the canyon plateau, which, as has been explained elsewhere, is away from the canyon for many miles. The wash is picturesque and rugged, the side walls occasionally appearing as bare masses of rock, and again covered with fertile soil on which grow great pines, also ferns, mosses and flowers. The road is fairly easy, and the horses travel well. 6.5 miles away, the Coconino washes past on the left. A little further on, the canyon widens somewhat, and a rude meadow, occasionally filled with rich and luscious natural grass, is crossed, after which the road makes a slight ascent to the plateau, and more open country is reached. Over the plateau. From this point, the ride is diversified. There are no steep hills, but the road aims directly for its objective point, taking the visitor through growths of pinyon, from which the Indians gather the delicious pine nuts, juniper, from the crushed berries of which they make a sweet and refreshing drink, and over levels where rich crama grass grows side by side with the cactus, the amol and the yucca, brightened and vivified by the Indian paintbrush, sunflowers, lupins and scores of other gorgeously colored flowers. Midway between base station and base camp, 10 miles each way, the road passes a United States Geological Survey monument, which records the fact that here the plateau is 6,372 feet above sea level. The surrounding mountains. On the journey, glimpses are had of the San Francisco Peaks, and Mounts Sitgraves, Kendricks, and Floyd, while, in the far away west and south, the blue ridges of the plateau, descending to the lower levels, are clearly discernible. To the north and west, Mounts Emma and Trumbull and other peaks of the Uinkarits appear like deep blue clouds on the horizon. They lie on the further side of the canyon, and are seen more distinctly from base camp. Hadouda Amphitheater. When 15 miles from Altover, the first gaze into the canyon is afforded at Hadouda Amphitheater, a deep indentation in the walls of the south rim. The road here runs close to the rim. This amphitheater receives its name from Hadouda, the son of Navajo, the last great Havasupai chief. Hadouda was an enlightened Indian, friendly to the better class of whites, clear-headed and honorable in his dealings with them. The cisterns. Thence to base camp the drive is entirely through pinyons and junipers. About a mile before the destination is reached, the road passes the cisterns, where the horses are watered. Base camp. Base camp consists of one small central building, containing a dining room, sitting room, kitchen and several bedrooms. Around are tent houses and tents for the further accommodation of guests, with stable and saddle house, etc. Almost immediately in front of the main building the trail begins. Powell Plateau and Dutton Point. Taking a seat at the head of the trail, let us now give our undivided attention to the scene spread out before us. The predominating feature is the great uplift of the opposite wall, and the aggressiveness of its salient promontory. Here is a break in the continuity of the wall of the Kaibab Plateau. This break affords an immediate view of the highest portions of the canyon's walls. To the right of the break is the Kaibab Plateau, its highest portion being 8,300 feet above sea level. To the left is Powell Plateau, 7,650 feet elevation. The great point, nearest to us, was named Dutton Point, after the poet-geologist, whose monograph on the canyon will ever be a memorial to his love of the place, his scientific accuracy of observation, and his poetic eloquence of description. It is between Kaibab and Powell Plateaus that Base's trail to Point Sublime climbs its circuitous and winding way, this portion being called T-Saddle. The dark growths which crown the plateaus are in reality pine trees, which, on the north rim of the canyon, attain immense size. They, and lesser tree growths, descend to the bottom of the second mass of Talus. The rocks of the north wall. The rock bands on the opposite walls, a large part of the way down, are like those found on the same north wall seen from Eltover. First there is the band of cherty limestone, from which a sloped talus leads to the creamy sugary sandstone. Immediately below this begins the ed, which descends in strata of varying width and color down to a rather narrow appearing slope of red talus, which leads the eye to the whitest member of all the Grand Canyon strata. This is the so-called red wall limestone. All these strata, from the rim down, are said to be in the upper and lower Carboniferous systems. Below this majestic wall, appear the variegated strata of the Cambrian, in grays, buffs, olives, greens and yellows. The tilts. Now we see a large exposure of the nonconformable strata, which, on account of their very markedly tilted condition, have been named he tilts. Below this is found the Archean rock. It is hard for any but the well-trained observer to realize that practically the same conditions that exist on the north wall exist on the south wall, directly under his feet, except that the Algonquian is absent. The talus shuts off the view, and it seems impossible that there can be such great precipice walls as the opposite mural face reveals. It is not as high, however, on this side as it is on the other, by fully 1,650 feet. The difference is caused by the great upthrust in the Earth's crust, which detached Powell's Plateau from the Kaibab Plateau. One may approximately estimate the various strata of the wall of the Kaibab as follows. Colorado River, say. .2400 feet above sea level Archean. .1000 thick Algonquian. .1100 Cambrian. .1000 Carboniferous. .2750 total level above sea. .8250 base tumor Holy Grail Temple. The Great North Wall is not featureless. There are a number of architectural forms, of wonderfully varied shape, resting upon bases of massive solidity. The most striking of these is a square-based monumental mass, Holy Grail Temple, formerly base tomb, on which rests a well-shaped pyramid, crowned with a red and white circular shaft. The whole butte is well proportioned, having a base of 16 square miles, and rising to a height of 6,710 feet. King Arthur Castle. Slightly to the east of it is another majestic butte, inferior only in size. The crowning shaft is missing here, but a castellated structure of red rock suitably dominates it. It bears the name King Arthur Castle, and is 7,315 feet elevation. Guinevere Castle. Still further to the east, a winding ridge of rock, standing over one of the many oblique gorges within the main gorge, leads up to a third dominating figure of rock sculpture. This is Guinevere Castle, 7,255 feet. Huethaali. Now let the eye rest upon the objects immediately before it, and more in the center of the canyon. The chief object is an almost detached mountain, crowned with irregular cross-bedded layers of white sandstone. The Indians call this mountain Huethawali, the final quote being pronounced as, which signifies White Rock Mountain. This is now the name they give to Base Camp, and the Havasupais at Eltover, who are starting for their canyon home, will often remark, "We go Huethaali tonight." Its elevation is 6,280 feet. Darwin Plateau. The main plateau before us is named Darwin Plateau, after the learned evolutionist. Take this plateau as a rude and misshapen hand, imagine the thumb and little finger gone, and it will be seen that the other three fingers radiate from Darwin Plateau in the shape of three irregularly contoured, but fairly level plateaus, Huethaali resting like a great wart upon the base of the middle one of the three. to these plateaus have been given the following names. The one to the right is Grand Scenic Divide, the middle one is named Huxley Terrace, and the one to the left, the west, is Spencer Terrace. For a few moments, let us look at each of these plateaus and grasp such features as the eyes may observe. Grand Scenic Divide and Dick Pillar. Grand Scenic Divide was so named because it is the point where the granite of the inner gorge disappears from the Grand Canyon, and this disappearance makes as vast and wonderful a difference in the canyon scenery as it is possible to find in its whole 217 miles of length. To the right of the divide, looking eastward, where the granite is still in evidence, one can see the temples, buttes and towers that make the view from Eltover and Grand View points so interesting. Looking westward, the whole aspect changes, so markedly, indeed, that one scarcely can believe it to be the same canyon. Hence the appropriateness of the name. At the extreme end of this plateau, a detached rocky pillar stands peering down into the deepest recesses of the inner gorge. This bears the name Dick Pillar, from Robert Dick, the baker geologist of Thurso, Scotland, who gave such material assistance to Hugh Miller in his studies of the old red sandstone. Huxley Terrace. Huxley Terrace is the center plateau. At its end is an eroded mass of red sandstone, to which the name of the noted naturalist and evolutionist, Wallace, has been attached. Still nearer the end, and belonging to the marble wall, is a pagoda named Tyndall Dome. Spencer Terrace. Spencer Terrace is the most western of the plateaus, and is where the Mystic Spring used to be, which for many years gave its name to Bass's Trail, the Mystic Spring Trail. These three plateaus vary in width from a quarter of a mile to over a mile wide. They are dotted with what seem to be patches of grass, but which in reality are juniper and pinyon trees from 10 to 40 feet in height. Terraces of the Explorers. About a quarter of a mile to the west of base camp is the amphitheater in which my earlier book, In and Around the Grand Canyon, and a large part of the present book were written. From this restful spot I have looked out thousands of times across the great bend of the river and Garnet Canyon to the five terraces named after the early day Spanish explorers, Marcus, de Vaca, Tovar, Alarcon, and Garces. Points of the Explorers. To the west stands out Camejo Levi Point, 6,626 feet, while across the river, terminating Powell Plateau, are Wheeler Point, 6,750 feet, and just beyond it Ives Point, 6,600 feet. To the north of Ives Point, but hidden from view, are Beale Point, 6,695 feet, Thompson Point, 6,730 feet, and Newberry Point, 6,750 feet, all named after early Arizona explorers and geologists. Conquistador Island Steamboat Mountain. The dark chasm of the river itself, where it moves almost due west, has been named Conquistador Isle, in honor of the men whose names are attached to the terraces above. Here the river again curves, and its course is seen to be to the northeast, as if doubling behind Powell Plateau. It then turns back upon itself, and goes to the southwest. If the conditions are favorable, one may see, to the left of Ives Point, a majestic butte, detached from the further wall of the canyon, and generally known as Steamboat Mountain. It is an object of great interest, when seen from the saddle on the north rim by those who have crossed the canyon, and are journeying to Point Sublime. The Scenic Divide. Now let the observer compare the view to the left with that which he has carefully examined on the right. There, in the latter view, are towers and buttes, detached monuments, and a perfect bewilderment of scenic features. Here, to the left, save for the aisles, terraces and further wall, there is little to attract attention. The view, comparatively, is uninteresting. The reason for this is clear. The granite of the inner gorge has disappeared. Here is the scenic divide, the natural line of demarcation between two distinctive portions of the canyon, the scenery of which is markedly diverse. Where the granite is in evidence, the stratified rocks resting upon it are carved in two varied forms. Where the river flows through the stratified rocks, and no granite appears, there are fewer no buttes, no towers, no monuments. Nowhere else, in the accessible portions of the canyon, is this difference seen. For at Grand View, the head of the Old Hands Trail, the Red Canyon Trail, Boucher's and the Bright Angel Trails, the outlooks are over areas where the granite has thrust itself out of the bowels of the earth. Basis Cable Crossing. The ride down Basis Trail is an interesting one, passing on the way to prehistoric water pockets and several cliff dwellings. On the plateau below, 40 miles of trail riding, almost on the level, may be indulged in, before one descends the narrow canyon to bedrock camp and the river. Here a ferry and cable crossing have been established, the former for use during low water, while, after the flood season begins, the latter enables travelers and stock to make a safe passage in the cage suspended from the cable. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.